Welcome to the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Don Bishop, and I write as T.S. Pedramon. Here we are today with editor Kara Espy. And, well, Kara, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
My name's Kara Espy, as you said. I own Midwrite Editorial. I do line editing and developmental editing mostly, but I try to be really flexible. I'm most passionate about working with indie authors, especially people who are maybe just starting out and need a lot of guidance. That's what I love. I love working with people on their stories and on making their visions come to life.
And I'm actually one of those starting out authors. So we were talking earlier this week. Well, we were talking a little bit last week, then I was sick. And anyway, so we were talking, actually that was last week. That was on Friday. We were looking at her giving me an edit on my novel, Nightshade Unicorn Forerunner. Unfortunately, she's already booked for the time frame that I wanted, so it didn't work out for us this time. But we talked and had a good talk. Also, I don't remember if you just mentioned it, but she has her own podcast, the Edda Buddies podcast.
I do, yes, the Edda Buddies podcast. And I started that earlier this year. I only publish once a month. I don't have the energy and bandwidth that you do to publish every week. But I really started that as a way to steal all the best tips from my fellow editors. I interview fellow editors, but I also interview authors and just talk about the editing process in general. Writing is one thing and editing is a whole separate thing. And I think authors are all often really surprised once they finish writing and then they get into the editing process and they see what that is really like.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is totally different. And I'm going to interrupt myself here. For the record, this interview was recorded on December 5th, 2023, and I am publishing what you're hearing right now on December 28th. But I am dividing this interview into two parts. Kara and I had a great discussion, and we let ourselves get into the weeds on modern and future tech, even getting philosophical about AI. And then we reined it in and talked about the editing process. So I will present the first portion of the conversation to you on January 18th, 2024. For today, we'll skip forward about 40 minutes and jump into the portion where we discussed editing books. Now, before we do that, I need to invite you to support my Kickstarter for a special debut edition of Nightshade Unicorn Book 1, Forerunner. The campaign launches on January 1st, 2024. You can go there right now and sign up to have it remind you on launch day if you like, or you can just visit the site on January 1st. I'll put this link in the show notes, and the direct link there is kickstarter.com/project/grandhill/nightshade-unicorn-forerunner-anepic-. Oh, wait, sorry, there's a dash between and. Yeah, it's a long link. So instead of that, you can just go to nightshadeunicorn.com and I'll put the link there and that'll make it easier. So you don't have to remember this big, huge, long URL directly to Kickstarter. You can just go to nightshadeunicorn.com. And other than that, there's a lot of work going on over here. I hope everyone's Christmas was lovely. I enjoyed it at home with my family. But I did have to make a conscious decision not to work or worry about work. While I was, doing Christmas with my family, I just set it aside and let Christmas be what it was. And we had a good time. So such it is, trying to get a new thing off the ground. So speaking of getting a new thing off the ground, nightshadeunicorn.com will give you a link to the Kickstarter campaign. Through the Kickstarter, you'll be able to get the book in either paperback, hardcover, or ebook. And you'll have the option of getting the book later, but this will be a special Kickstarter edition, and you'll have your name printed inside among the Kickstarter backers, helping us get the book off the ground. And these acknowledgments will be found also
in the public launch edition, which will go up for sale on February 28th. Also, depending on the level of the Kickstarter that you sign up at to back it, you could gain indefinite access to my Discord server and my Substack, where I'm currently publishing the work in progress version of Nightshade Unicorn as a serial audiobook. Also, we'll record a song from within the story and push that out to the Kickstarter backwards. I am a musician by training and previously by trade, and I created the intro music to this podcast myself, as well as intro music to the to accompany the serial audiobook on Substack. The Substack platform calls it a podcast. Technically it is, but it's very bare bones as far as podcast format. It's just chapter after chapter. For Nightshade Unicorn, for the book, I already wrote a couple of tunes from within the story. And so if the Kickstarter campaign successfully funds, then I or my wife will record a particular song which plays a part in the story. And, you know, I already wrote the words. The words are in the book. But the tune exists. But it's, there's no human consumable. Oh, wow, I can't even. Human consumable recording of that. Technically, I did record the tune just to create it, to get it out, but yeah. Anyway, so if the Kickstarter funds, we will record that and push that to our backers. Now moving on, a final reminder, check that out at nightshadeunicorn.com. And getting back to today's interview, remember, if you have manuscript, if you wrote a book or you're writing a book and you need editing services, check out midwrite.com to get Kara's help to bring your story into the world. Now, without further ado, back to the interview.
And they are fascinating questions. Yeah. So,
we could also talk about editing.
I was just looking at my notes here. So going back to the very beginning, your background.
Okay, sure.
What's your educational background? Because I have a degree in music education.
Oh, okay.
Which, how does that line up with cyberspace, marine, and so? How about you? Education, professional.
Yeah. So I started reading when I was 4. I was homeschooled. My parents didn't care for the public school system, but my dad was very much a reader, and he tried to teach us like Greek and Latin because he wanted us and Hebrew, like he wanted us to read the Bible and like the original languages and stuff. And we would do family reading every night where he would read like Tolkien or C.S. Lewis. So like from a very young age, I was absorbing pretty high level material. Wow. Yeah. And when I was...
As a parent, I envy the level of stability to enable that.
Yeah, we did. I mean, you know, like...
Because as a...
Military.
As a Marine, I've been moving and moving and moving.
Yeah.
And,
but it sounds like you're really trying, like with the stories for your daughters and everything, like you're kind of doing something similar. And it does. It makes a huge difference. Like, you know, I have so many like really powerful memories of just listening to my dad read. And so when I was a teenager, I got into fan fiction, as you do. And I started writing something with a friend of mine. But I really, like, the writing was okay. But what I really enjoyed was when she would send me her chapters. And I would look through them and I'd be like, oh, this is good. But what if we did this instead? You know? So, if, like, even from the beginning, I've always kind of had more of an editor's eye, like, just, like, I see the vision that you're going for, and I think we can make it even stronger, you know? But I really had it in my head that, like, I wanted to go into the movies. So, when I went to college, I asked a counselor, a guidance counselor in college, like, I'm thinking about being an editor, and he was kind of... He basically was like, well, you're just going to sit at a desk all day reading through piles of people's papers and it's really boring. Are you sure you want to do that? And like, I was like, okay, I guess I'm stupid. Never mind. So I went to college for film. And I got a degree in communications with an emphasis in film and media. And for about 3 years after college, I was doing like reality shows and commercials and things like that, thinking I wanted to like be in the movies. But I wasn't, it wasn't really doing it for me. And I was, especially, I was meeting a lot of people who had been in the business a long time and they were all really unhappy with their lives. Which sounds terrible, but it really made me think like, oh, do I want 12 to 18 hour days for weeks on end for really crap pay just to like be in this environment? Not really. So I kind of pulled back from that and I ended up randomly getting a job at a school district where I was a communications person and I was making training videos, but then I also started doing started writing documentation, like technical documentation, and then I started doing more like training guides and more like really user-friendly stuff, and then I was writing communications and like white papers and stuff like that, and I was editing stuff for the managers as well, and I did that for about 5 years, and then they had a new position that was a project management position, and I was really tired and burnt out of like the corporate communication stuff. So I was like, oh, I'll try this project management thing. I took over that job in 2020. I started it in May of 2020. And it was the worst job I've ever had. It was.
We kind of lost you there. Had some network. Took it over in May of 2020. Yeah. It was
the worst job I've ever had. It was just very stressful and a lot of, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm mostly just dealing with other people's emotional baggage because they have too much work to do and they don't know how to prioritize it. I got very burned out and was very, and also dealing with, you know, 2020 and 2021, I ended up in the hospital after an accident and I had some downtime and I was like, my life is not what I want it to be. What do I want my life to be? And editing just like popped up again. It was like, I've always been a reader. I've been writing, you know, myself, and I was doing editing as part of my communications job, but I had never really thought about going back to it as like, maybe I could try this full time. So I took some classes and was like, yep. Like it was really one of those light bulb moments where like, oh, this is the thing I've been spinning my wheels and circling around for like my entire 20s, basically. It was like, I could have just been doing this from the beginning, but you just don't know until you know. And I'm really grateful for a lot of the experience that I had. The project management thing, even though it was like one of the worst jobs that I've had, it was so, so beneficial for making that transition because editing and project management are really similar in a lot of ways. It's a lot of relationship building and helping people focus on what are the barriers to getting done what you need to get done and how can we overcome those barriers. I also, because of my communications role and I was doing a lot of like training documentation, I was also leading training classes. So I was learning a lot about adult education and helping people kind of learn new skills. So all of that translated super well into the editorial profession. So I started in October of 2021 was when I like opened up my website and my business. But I was still doing my project management job at the same time. So I was trying to do both for about a year. And that was rough. That was real rough. And then I just recently quit that job, moved across the country, and now I'm doing editing full time.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a journey.
And yeah, and I've been to your website. I think you have it on your card where you say the mid-write. I think that's a clever idea, and I told my wife about it. Where, you know, an author's book is the author's baby, and you're here to help that baby come into the world as the mid-write.
Yes, absolutely. And I really think it's
It's good.
I think that there's a lot of anxiety some authors have about hiring an editor that they're going to take away everything about the author that is unique and just turn it into like, this is the right way it's supposed to be. And like, we just remove the author's voice. And I wanted to make it clear from the beginning that that is not my philosophy or style whatsoever. It's your baby. I'm here to make sure it's cleaned up and pretty and breathing and healthy, you know?
Do you do any of your own writing, or you just focus on the editing?
I do my own writing, but I really struggle. I struggle with the motivation for it, you know, because I am an editor. So I am editing my own work as I'm trying to write. And I've, you know, people say like, oh, just turn off your brain and just get it out on the page. That does not work for me. It doesn't. So I feel it.
That's why, like.
No, I mean, it's hard. And I've had a lot of like ideas for things. I've written like the first quarter of a children's fantasy, like a middle grade fantasy. I've written 35,000 words on my sci-fi trilogy that I love and I'm really excited about, but it's going to take me 10 years to write because that's just I am.
We're sitting here on the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast. I named it after the Grand Hill Chronicles that I started in 2010 under NaNoWriMo.
Oh, wow.
And it's 34,000 words in, you know? And I've put it on pause for now while I push Nightshade Unicorn out the door because I need something to go to market. And Grand Hill has to be right, you know? Like, it has to be just right. Yeah. And not only that, but I've also hamstrung myself because last year I had an idea for some ancient history, and that has to be just right too. And I have to write the ancient history story before I can write Grand Hill. And yeah. So yeah, the side of the brain that just wants to fix everything, I was able to outrun it for the moment by sprinting into a new story. Mm-hmm. Like, here's Nightshade Unicorn. I had the idea a year and a half ago. I started really writing it. I started building the plot early this year, and I started really writing it just a few weeks before I started an internship that allowed me the time to really push through.
Nice.
And
yeah.
So I have fears about it because, like, is it complete? Does it hit the beats that it needs to hit, or is it going to feel empty to mm-hmm. readers? My 12-year-old liked it. That's great. I mean, I am really genuinely happy about that. But I call it YA. The main character is almost 17, and she comes of age in the story. So, it's YA. I'm not aiming it at 12-year-olds. I'm aiming it at young adult audiences, and I hope that it doesn't feel empty to them, because I did some pantsing in the middle of there, and I'm kind of scared.
Well,
the editor brain,
yes.
I get it.
And that's really why, like, my job exists, is like, when you have the time, like, getting a manuscript evaluation or getting a developmental edit is exactly how you can answer those questions about, like, man, I really pantsed it through the middle. Is that working? You know, one of the first things I do in a developmental edit is I literally just look at the chapter lengths and I see, are there any chapters that are super, super short, or are there any chapters that are super, super long? Because that's telling me right away there's probably something funky going on with the pacing, you know? And I'll notice that a lot happening in middle chapters in books where the chapters will suddenly get very long because the author's trying to find their way to the story. And they don't realize that they have written, you know, maybe 2,000 words that they didn't actually need to get to the point of what they were trying to do, you know. So it's a lot of that kind of evaluation is happening in the developmental edit stage.
Yeah. So can you tell us what the different stages or the different types of editing
are? So
for anybody who might not
It
know.
really depends on who you're talking to. You're going to get like different answers, but you can really think of it in kind of three categories. You have your structural or developmental stage, and that's where you're dealing with the big picture items, the story, the characters, the plot, the world building, the setting. That's where you're making those big picture changes of like, oh, this subplot is like completely dropped. How could we weave it back in and make it relate to this character's story, you know? Or this character has a flat arc because they don't have a lot of agency and they're not making a lot of choices for themselves. How can we give them action in the story so that readers feel connected with what they're doing, you know? So that's kind of the developmental stage. A lot of authors don't ever hire a developmental editor and never really get feedback on that. Because it is expensive and, you know, especially for indie authors, it's probably the thing that you can kind of get some help with critique groups or with like if you get a lot of beta readers, you can sometimes get a handle on that. Or if you have a very, very like a lot of the writers at 20 Books Vegas have these super structured formats that they write in because they're getting out books very quickly.
Uh-huh.
They aren't interested in developmental edits because they're not finding a story, right? They're writing to a specific type of thing. So, but for especially for pantsing authors and for new authors, or for authors that have a story that they feel really passionate about, but they get stuck, that's where that developmental kind of stage is really, really helpful to get that feedback. So the next stage you can think of as, the kind of like the it's what most people think of as editing, I would say. It's so copy editing or line editing. And copy editing comes in like a heavy, medium, and light flavor. So a heavy copy edit or a line edit is like we're dealing with switching paragraphs and sentence structure and making sure that the flow of the words and the content is being expressed properly, word choice is appropriate. We're looking for, we're just really trying to make sure that the idea is coming across in the way that it's supposed to, right? And then other things you're talking about in kind of the line editing, copy editing stage is point of view is a big one, whether or not you're staying in the character's head or you're magically flying all around the map. We don't want to have any of those kind of breaks in logic because they'll throw readers off and they'll just not, you know, they'll think it's amateur.
Did you ever read Dune? I listened to it a few weeks ago for the first time.
I read
time,
it several years ago. Yeah.
Oh, my head hopping. I did not hear that all the time. Mid scene. When we find out what Paul is thinking, then we find out what his mom is thinking.
Yes.
And we find out what his dad
yes.
is thinking.
And he does. I'd have to read it again.
The book is good, nevertheless.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And some people do that omniscient style and it's really good. And some people try to do it, but they only do it like every once in a while. I was reading this book. I'm not going to list it because I'm sure the author makes a lot more money than me. So what am I to say? But it was a historic kind of Regency era romance, which is one of my like not guilty pleasures because I'm not guilty about it, but I love those books. But she did that. She like had us almost entirely in like the main female character. And then just randomly she would like, we're going to pop into this guy's head for no reason. And then back to the main character. And yeah. So line editing, copy editing, we're looking out for that kind of stuff. We're really looking out for filter words, which is where people are. It's
beginning to.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, that's another thing is like the. Intend
about.
To act versus actually acting. Yeah, that's one thing.
I have a lot of that in My Shiny Unicorn that I still need.
And then also things like, oh, she wondered whether or not he blah, blah, blah. That can just be an internal thought. I wonder if he, like, did he blah, 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 you know? Or he heard the girl coming down the stairs instead of just the girl came down the stairs. You know, it's like sometimes, and not all filter words are bad, but they do... it's called narrative distance, where you're kind of subtly cueing the reader that they're reading about somebody. But the goal for a lot of like, especially modern prose is you want the reader to feel like they're in the character's head. Even if it's not a first person book, you still want to kind of be like right there inside their perspective, and filter words kind of create distance and prevent that from happening. Yeah, so it's a lot of things like that, like getting the prose like really good, you know? And then the last stage is kind of like the polishing stage, and that would be like very light copy editing and proofreading. Proofreading should pretty much only be done after you have the book formatted, like it is done and ready to go on shelves and ready to be printed. That's when you do the proofreading to catch any of those like last final little errors to make sure you have like the most perfect manuscript. So there's a lot of times though that people will contact me and say they want to proofread, and then I start asking them what they're looking for, and it's like, no, you don't want a proofread, you want a line edit, you know, or, well, you're asking me about story questions, that's not a proofread, you know. There is a lot of kind of education that has to happen because people think that
maybe they're coming from maybe they went to college for engineering, you know, and so this is not something they went to school for. And so they're leaning on what they learned in high school in their 10th grade literature class, and they write something and then they pass it to their neighbor and they proofread it, and they also catch some story problems, you know? So they've never heard of a line edit.
Yeah, exactly. And like, one thing that's really interesting is authors will come to me and say, oh, I really want to make sure that my grammar is good. Like, I'm worried that my grammar is bad and I want somebody to check it over. And then I read the manuscript and there's nothing wrong with the grammar, but they use the exact same sentence structure over and over again. Like, she saw the thing and did this. She picked it up and put it on the thing. She did blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, and it's like, okay, well, you're grammatically, it's fine, but it's boring to read. So we have a whole different problem that you weren't even aware of, you know, that we got to work through. And obviously, I try to be much more diplomatic when I'm talking about it with the author. But it is really fascinating to me how I think writers, I notice writers get stuck in the weeds a lot, especially during the edit process. It's extremely difficult to take that objective step back and be able to see what is really important to get this story across in the way that it needs to. Perfect grammar is not actually important most of the time, because it's good. It's good to have, but it's more important to have, you know, prose that is interesting, to have a setting that is very active and feels real, to have characters that have that really unique voice and vision where, you know, like you said, you know, when it's this character talking versus this character talking, right? Like, it's so much more important to have that. And that's what makes a good story over like having absolutely perfect grammar, absolutely following the rules that your English professor told you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. And I guess we're at the point, I'll ask where listeners can find you on the web.
Yeah, so my website is midwrite.com. That's MIDWRITE. I offer free consultations. You can just go on there and book a consultation and we can talk about whatever editing questions you have. I do have my podcast, the Edit Buddies podcast. You can find that on my website or on Spotify, Apple, all those fun places. And then I also have an Instagram. If you'd like to follow me on there, it's at Midwrite Worlds. And I post, you know, books I'm reading, or I try to do the tips thing, you know, like a lot of editors post like free tips. And don't get me wrong, I have no problem with sharing free editing information. I just don't want to put together social media posts. I just don't want to take the time to do that.
Yeah, as soon as I'm making enough money to hire a virtual assistant, I'm going to say, here, you know, give me like at least 2 or 3 posts per week and offload that.
Yeah, so what I feel like if anybody has editing questions, feel free to email me or post them to my Instagram on a random post. I don't care. I just I'm not going to put up like tips and tricks and everything, but I'm happy to share information. That's all, another reason why I started the podcast too. Like I said, is I think there's a lot of just people not really quite understanding what the editor's role is. And I wanted to kind of demystify some of that for editors out there and let them know that like, we're all this writing process, I know, is it can be really lonely and it can be really difficult to find people that understand it and that you can talk to and that you can kind of get that that camaraderie, right, of doing this work. And so I just like the podcast as a way of like, hey, like, we're all out here, we're all doing this, we're all talking about this together, and we can really make a community out of it, even though we're, you know, we might be writing on our own, but that doesn't mean that we're writers on our own.
Yeah. And I would encourage listeners to look up the podcast. I've listened to it. She has interesting conversations on there, and I've listened to it while doing yard work and random stuff around the house, and it's interesting.
Thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah, and it's true. So we should spell that too. So EDIBUDDIES,
yes.
Right?
Edibuddies. Yes. Edibuddies.
Edibuddies podcast.
Yes. That's it.
Now I think we're pretty much done, but I am going to, just for kind of housework, we've gone a little bit longer, which is fine. I'll make this a two-parter. I'll split it into two episodes. Okay. And I'll take the second part and publish that first.
Okay.
Where we get to know you first.
And then we go into the AI discussion.
Yes.
I think that's great.
So this talk about editing, I'll publish that on December 28th. So listeners, today is December 28th. But for art, it's December 5th. And then I'll push the AI discussion and philosophy discussion to the next available Thursday, which will be January 18th. So listeners, if you've had your interest piqued here, subscribe so you get that update when the earlier half of the discussion publishes later on January 18th.
That sounds great.
I'm going to make a note of it right now so I don't lose it. There. It's on my personal calendar where I have all my podcast releases. Anyway.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. And thanks for joining. This is Kara Espy, editor, and we'll catch you next time on the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast.